welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is Chapter 3 of The Wilderwood, Book 2, a fantasy serial co-written for you by Daniel Hines and Joseph Montebello. There are 6 chapters in Book 2, so be on the lookout for new installments over the course of the next few weeks. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Otto, Rachel, and Rob and their family in Portland, Oregon, Hazel and Hendrix and their family in Washington, Corinna and Daniel and Chico the Cat and the rest of their family, Evie and Shay and their family from New Brighton, Minnesota, Gabriel Cologne and his family in Indiana, and Ada and Ellis and their family in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much, Ellis, Ada, Gabriel, Shay, Evie, Chico, Daniel, Corinna, Hendrix, Hazel, Rob, Rachel, and Otto. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous.
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Whoa, look at the size of that thing. You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. The Wilderwood, Book 2, Chapter 3. It was getting dark by the time they approached their camp, and clouds were rolling in above the trees. Lachlan was forced to admit to himself that he was lucky to have Waxham along. The halfling might have been a prisoner and a thief, but Wax and Nezzy found their way through the woods with ease, even when everything was in shadow. If he had been left to his own devices, Lachlan knew it would have taken hours to find his way back. He'd still be out there, wandering in the Wilderwood, in the dark. Easy pickings for Orlum knows what kind of hungry beast may have found him. And thinking about hungry beasts...
Hey, there they are! I guess I owe you my jerky, Gothak, Hark said.
She was lounging back on a log, roasting a hunk of sizzling meat over a small fire. The skin of some beast was stretched between the two young trees behind her. Hark smiled at them with the mischief of a cat.
He said you'd all make it. I said the squire would see his reflection in a pond and refuse to leave. That or get eaten by a moss dragon.
No such luck, said Wax with a grin. Lachlan scowled. He felt some real respect for the halfling's woodcraft, but Wax and the sorceress could be a real pain together.
Oh, by the way, Hark said, waving her little skewer at the fire, we caught dinner.
We have to go, Nezzy said, even as she and Wax hurried over.
Gothak smiled as he cut chunks of meat for them, but as they got closer, he wrinkled up his lumpy nose. The smell from the musk raptor had hit him and Hark's.
Whoa! I don't even want to know what you've been doing to smell like that. I thought you were looking for water. Maybe you should have bathed in it.
Hark sounded both disgusted and amused. Lachlan stood at the edge of the camp, ignoring the food and the warmth.
There was a path, with tracks. Horse tracks and Frosker tracks. We can catch them, but we have to hurry.
Gothak stood and hacked off another piece of meat. He tossed it in Lachlan's direction, and the squire caught it without even noticing.
We can't just sit down for dinner. We have to...
Lachlan stopped and got control of himself. He spoke the facts as he saw them.
We have to find them. The Frosker must be captives. If we lose the trail, it will be impossible to find them in the Wilderwood, especially if it rains and washes away the tracks.
What? Said Harks, leaping to her feet.
The half-giant picked up a stick and touched it to the fire, and it immediately flared up. Lachlan could see it was a handmade torch, the end wrapped in some kind of cloth soaked in fat. Gothak shook his head.
Not sit down for dinner. Eat a few bites, drink some water, talk a minute before we start. How many horses were there, and how many Frosker?
Lachlan shook his head.
I don't know. There had to be more than one horse.
Wax spoke up. I couldn't tell either. It looked like more than one, but the tracks were wrong. I can't really describe it.
Gothak nodded, handing the torch to Nezzy.
Anything else? He grumbled.
There was a Frosker track, a little one, and furrows from a cart, too, Nezzy said.
And something bigger than a horse was pulling the cart,
Lachlan added, gesturing at Waxham because they had noticed that. Gothak was listening, but he was also tearing their camp down with the speed of long practice. He cut the straps that held the drying skin of the beast while knocking the fire sideways with a boot.
So horses, a cart, and a Frosker on foot.
He rolled the remaining meat up in the skin and secured it to the wood-framed backpack, called a crakes, that he carried on his back.
Why make the Frosker walk? A cart goes faster.
Lachlan saw his point, but Nezzy was impatient. It doesn't matter why. They have the tads and tasses. We have to go. We have to help them.
Something about this seemed to bother the half-giant. He looked hurt and spoke more quietly.
We will help. If it's one horse, one guard, and the cart, we will catch up and fight the guard. But if there are several guards walking behind the cart, and more on the cart, and the Frosker are walking behind, we'll have to be very careful.
Everyone hung on Gothak's words. Nezzy looked scared, and Harks put a hand on her shoulder. The halfling looked calm and determined, ready for action, though Lachlan couldn't picture them charging into battle. Lachlan himself felt better now than at any time since missing his shot at the Stinkbird. Gothak knew how to track and what to look for, and he knew how to size up an enemy and adjust plans accordingly. Lachlan knew he couldn't match Gothak or Wax in the woods, but combat? Planning? Those were skills Lachlan had been trained in, and he was happy to see there was more to the half-giant than just muscle. Gothak swung his crakes up onto his shoulders and looked around at the camp. The embers of the fire still smoldered, so Lachlan walked over and ground them into the dirt. Other than the blackened spot where the fire had been, the place looked just like it had when they arrived. Gothak took the torch back from Harks and held it low in front of them.
Which way?
He said. I spotted the trail, Wax said, taking the torch. Follow me and watch my back, okay? I'll be eyes down and I'm small enough to make a meal.
We got you, Wax, Hark said, setting one of her arms alight. Okay, let's hurry, Nezzy said, taking Hark's other arm.
Lachlan held back, walking last in line.
I won't be much help tracking where we're going, he thought, but at least I can make sure no one sneaks up behind us.
He was a paladin, a holy knight of Orlam, and he knew it was just as good to be a shield as a sword. Okay, here the prince crossed the others, Wax said when they reached the spot where they had found the trail. Internally, they heaved a sigh of relief. The group was counting on them, and despite projecting confidence, they had been a little worried they'd miss it in the dark. The half-giant squatted next to Wax and then turned, facing in the direction the tracks led off.
Back of the hooves point that way, so they were going this way.
He glanced at Wax.
I see what you meant. The prints are deeper in the front, but a horse didn't make these.
Wax looked at the tracks, frustrated that they couldn't read the signs as well as Gothak. The halfling prided themselves on their hunting ability. But then again, the half-giant probably couldn't pick a lock or slip out of handcuffs.
Okay, but what else would they be?
Gothak stood up.
I don't know. Never seen tracks like this. They're shaped like horse feet, but the spacing is wrong. Can't be horses.
Any idea, Nezzy? Harks asked.
Yes? No, Nezzy said. I can't be sure. Too many animals have hooves, and I can't read the prints well. I'll know more if we can see them.
Whatever they were, Gothak said, there were at least three walking, maybe more. The cart isn't very big, no front wheels, but it's heavy, with a heavy creature pulling it. Maybe one of the things we caught, big flat feet like that. Some Frosker walking with the cart, but I don't know how many. Their tracks are mostly trampled by the horse things.
Trampled? Nazalia's voice sounded shocked. The tracks were trampled, not the Frosker. The horse things walked behind the Frosker, maybe. Guarding, making sure they didn't get away? Nezzy looked a little calmer, and Wax nodded. They were starting to get a picture of how the little prisoners might have looked. Scared, maybe with their hands tied, walking in a line with the guards behind them. Wax felt strange. Calm and furious at the same time, like watching themselves get angry from the outside. They knew how powerless, how terrifying it felt to be a prisoner, and they were a young adult. The young Frosker had seen their homes attacked, and then they had been rounded up and taken away. They must be scared half to death. Wax gritted their teeth and promised themselves that the young ones would be free as soon as possible. Lachlan spoke quietly, eyes casting around the dark forest. How far ahead do you think they are?
The tracks aren't that old, and they can't go faster than the little ones can walk or run.
The half-giant looked directly at Nezzy.
As long as the little ones are on foot, we'll catch up in an hour or two.
Nezzy pounced on Gothak, hugging one huge arm fiercely, then letting him go and backing up shyly.
Show us the way.
Gothak shook his head.
The markings are easy to see here, and we don't need to read them, just follow. Is it true elves can see in the dark?
It is, Nezzy nodded. It's different, though. Less color, like everything's gray.
Can you follow the wagon ruts? Wax asked.
They understood what the half-giant was thinking and appreciated the cleverness of it.
I can, Nezzy said, as long as they don't go into the brush or anything.
Okay, Gothak said. You lead the way. Harks, no more fire.
You might as well tell a fish no more water, she said.
They'll see us coming, Wax said. We go in the dark, following Nezzy, and we can sneak up on them.
Spoken like a thief, Lachlan said. Spoken like a hunter, Gothak corrected,
and Wax was happy to see Lachlan blush.
Okay, Nezzy said, taking Harks by the hand. Follow me.
The group lined up and started running the trail. They moved quickly. Wax thought they'd be the slowest again, but it was clear Harks and Lachlan hadn't spent much time in the woods. Both of them seemed to trip on every gnarled root and bump of dirt along the way, and they had to slow a little to stop from making so much noise. The path wound through the woods, and after a while, Wax realized that they weren't just tired from running. The path was heading up a long hill. Not steep, but still making all of them huff and puff for breath. To make matters worse, a light rain started to fall, dripping through the trees and making the path soft and slippery, but they kept going. Wax was worried that they would have to call for a rest soon, but suddenly Nezzy skidded to a halt, throwing up a hand and motioning for everyone to be quiet. The group gathered around her. They were near the top of a hill, and before them the path dipped down and then rose up again. The woods were a little thinner here, and they could see lights and figures moving up the next rise. The lights bobbed gently, their glow a ruddy red. They must have hung lamps from the cart, Wax thought. There was a line of small figures behind the lamps, half in shadow, and a group of tall somethings walking behind the little ones. The tall figures had glints of metal on them. Armor and swords, probably. Nothing good, that was for sure.
Not horses, Gothak said with satisfaction. Look, the guards are standing like people. Two legs, but with horse feet. I've never seen creatures like that.
I think they're called Okar, Nezzy whispered. They never leave the Wilderwood.
Keeping her voice low, she sang of the creatures.
In Wilderwood, the Okar roam, but nowhere do they dwell. A campfire's all they call home, in clearing or in dell. Their call is cruel and quick to fight, with fur to fend off thorn. They hunt by hearing, not by sight, defeat them by the horn.
They're ugly, that's for sure, Hark said.
All creatures are beautiful, Nezzy replied automatically.
Have you seen the squire lately? Hark shot back.
Hush, Wax said, stifling their own smile. Hunt by hearing. We need to be quiet.
If we run to them and they hear us, they might put the little ones in the cart and send it ahead, Lachlan said. We can't just run up and be sure to get them. We need a plan.
We're listening, Nezzy said.
The cart is tied to the creature.
Thunder Beast, Nezzy put in.
Lachlan nodded and continued.
It's tied to the Thunder Beast with a rope harness. If we could separate the cart from the beast, they won't be able to get the Tads and Tasses away quickly. We might have to fight them, but there can't be that many. And the song says that their weakness is their horns.
Peering at the slow-moving cart, Wax could see that the squire was right. The rope stretched over the back of the beast. It was a long distance, but they could probably hit the rope using the bow and arrow. Wax turned and saw that the squire had the same idea. He was already aiming up and out toward the cart.
Let me try. I can make that shot, Wax said.
The squire's eyes shifted from his target to Wax.
This is my bow, the squire said.
Lachlan, Nezzy said. Remember earlier? Maybe you should let Wax try.
That was just one mistake. I'll show you, Lachlan said. You all be ready to run in. Remember, go for the horns.
Gothak nodded, opening and closing the sharpened end of his metal arm with a dull clink. Nezzy readied her wand and smoke billowed in gentle puffs from Hark's hands. Wax wanted to argue. They had been the best shot among all of the halflings. They had made the shot, the shot, the one that had ended a war and got them sent to prison. But of course, they couldn't say that. If they did, they'd have to admit, well, it didn't bear thinking about.
Ready? Lachlan hissed, drawing back the bow with a creak. Go!
The bow thwumped and the arrow sped silently into the night. The group started to run forward, but they only made it a few strides. Even on the run, Wax's sharp eyes caught the glint of lamplight off the arrowhead as it hurtled down, missing the cart and the harness rope entirely and sinking into the ground off to the side of the Thunder Beast's head.
Harfa! One of the Okar cried, the voice high and raspy, and three of them charged down the hill toward Wax and their group.
Torches were lit, and Wax saw a huddled bunch of small Frosker being lifted into the cart by the rest of the Okar. Wax and their friends charged on. Gothak raised his spear and his metal hand. He bellowed a battle cry, all fury and no words, deep and loud as a dragon. The Okar winced and slowed at the sound. The approaching trio of creatures spread out quickly and made pitching motions, though Wax couldn't see what they were throwing.
Spears!
Lachlan yelled. He stopped and raised his shield, quietly saying something about Orlam. His shield gleamed with a fierce blue light in the darkness. For a moment, Wax saw the impression of the shield's mystic energy spreading up and out to make a thin wall of light. The first spear hit that light and bounced aside, but it faded as quickly as it had begun,
and the other spears fell among them.
Gothak leapt sideways to dodge a spear that would have hit him. Lachlan tackled Harks, knocking her over, and the spear that would have hit her slammed heavily against his metal shield and fell harmlessly to the ground. Wax picked it up. It was short enough for them to wield. It was made of a dull, heavy metal.
Not pretty, Wax thought, but it'll be more useful than Hark's knife in a fight.
They looked up to see that the three Okar were rushing at them. The wagon full of Frosker escaped over the hill.
Look out! Nezzy shouted.
She brandished the wand that had grown from her mother's tree. A pale green light washed out from it, and grasping roots clutched at the Okar. Two of them were grabbed and slowed, but the third leapt clear.
No!
Gothak bellowed, rising to meet him. The Okar straightened up, its legs and arms seeming to unfold and become longer. It was suddenly towering over the half-giant, and when its spear flashed down like a bolt of lightning, Wax thought the big guy was done for. But somehow, Gothak slipped sideways past the deadly point of the spear, using his own spear to parry, and crashed his shoulder into the Okar's stomach. The effect was immediate. The Okar was knocked down flat on his back, long limbs flailing as he fell. Gothak was on him at once. He pinned the Okar's spear arm with a boot, then bent to close his metal grasper around one of the thin horns on the Okar's head. He wrenched it sideways, and the horn snapped off.
That'll be it, Wax thought. Got him right at the weak spot.
If that was true, though, the Okar didn't seem to notice. It rolled backward and then lashed out with its hooves, catching Gothak in the stomach and sending him flying. The half-giant landed on his hands and knees in the muck. The Okar took a step forward, but then Lachlan was there. The creature's spear screamed off his shield, and then the squire's sword came swinging in a flurry.
The cart!
Nezzy cried out. Wax looked from the fight in front of them to the wagon full of Tads and Tasses disappearing. The lamps had been thrown from the cart as it continued forward, and it was soon lost in the darkness. When Nezzy lost focus on her spell, the other Okar broke free of the roots and advanced towards them. Gothak stood and backed up toward his friends, falling in beside Lachlan.
There are more coming down that side, and breaking the horns didn't work. We don't want to meet them here. Go back, up the hill, quickly.
Nezzy took Hark's hand and helped her up off the muddy ground, and Wax and Gothak ran with them up the hill. Lachlan used his shield to batter his opponent back, and then slung it over his shoulders as he ran behind the others. He followed quickly, staggering once as another spear glanced off his armored back and crashed into the night.
To be continued.
Today's story was Chapter 3 of The Wilderwood, Book 2, an original fantasy serial co-written for you by Daniel Hines and Joseph Montebello, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon, with an original song by us all. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.